Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side.
Shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
When the ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts for this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Craig.
As always, we encourage you to please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. And go ahead and pull down on those safety bars because we will not be doing that for you. Guys, looks like we've got a change of scenery here.
We're
New World Headquarters here.
We have relocated a whole, 3 miles down the road?
Yes.
Things just got a little too crazy, a little too swamped with the paparazzi and mad screaming fans where we were, so we had to relocate.
I think we're a safer location now. I don't think we'll be found as easily. Derek?
They always find you, eventually.
Well, I did tell the local police to circle by every so often to make sure things weren't out of control. We asked you a week ago on episode 10 time-saving tips, to share with us some of your time-saving tips via social media. Derek, what were some of those answers that the people gave for our 10th answer?
Sure. There was Mark Jackson on Twitter. He said, number one, go early. Take a break in the midday when crowds are big. Go back in the late afternoon. Two, use unofficial guide plans, now touringplans.com app. And three, go against the grain. Be on opposite side of the park from parades, fireworks, etc. And Nick McNabb says to use the MDE app for all it's worth. Check wait times, extra fast passes, mobile ordering. Number two, pack park bag the night before. Morning minutes are precious. Three, pre-check in at resorts. Skip the line and walk straight to your room. Four, go left. Always go left. And Clint Rochelle, gotta agree with Craig. And as soon as you scan in for third fast pass, get on the app to get the next one. Refresh until you see something you want. Availability is constantly changing.
Wait, somebody agreed with Craig?
They did. That happens a lot, I think. A lot more than on this show.
Yeah, well,
I'm more likable than you guys give me credit for.
Well, I don't know about that. But no, Craig's definitely the most likable of the bunch. We appreciate your answers. Which one of those stood out to you, gentlemen?
Clint stood out to me, of course.
Well, of course, obviously. What about you, Derek?
I would say using the MDE app very as effectively as possible, just in general.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Nick's, I believe he said, packing your park bag the night before. That's something we tend to do, and it does save a lot of precious morning time. And going left, which is always important.
And that's probably a show we'll have to do down the road of what to pack. I mean, that's probably a big thing we have not covered.
That is important. Well, guys, the big day is here. Our first major celebrity interview.
I think Derek is still recovering from the Thanksdizving.
Thanksdizving. Can you say it yet, Derek?
I'm dizzy already from trying to say it.
We were thinking about what we wanted to title these types of episodes, because hopefully in the future we'll have more interviews with various people related to Walt Disney World and the operational side of things. And Craig and I, we were discussing what we wanted to call this, and we decided that since the Hall of Presidents may never reopen, here we are recording this in November 2017, we're going to call this series Hall of Personalities. Whenever we have a special guest, whomever they may be, we will bring them into the Hall of Personalities, you could say. I guess we could call that this little hall that we're in, and we will interview them, pick their brain, and guys?
Then we can make an audio animatronic of them, right, Dustin?
I don't think we have the time or the space in here to do that.
Okay.
I say why not try?
Well, do or do not, there is no try, said Yoda.
Ooh.
We have been building this up for several days now, and it's finally time to reveal who the special guest is. And guys, I'm very excited. This is someone who's become a good friend of ours. He is the co-author to The Easy Guide to Your Walt Disney World Visit. He is the owner, operator, author, and CEO of EasyWDW.com. He is Josh Humphrey. Josh, welcome here into the graveyard.
Well, thank you for having me. I liked everything you just said.
Well, we do our best here to flatter our guest. And you are the first guest here on the Grim Grinning Guys. And I believe, as you were telling us earlier, this is your first podcast episode?
This is it.
Well, we feel very honored. Guys, Craig, Derek, you want to welcome Josh or say hi or let him know that you're here?
Hey, Josh. And we wanted to make sure CEO got in there.
Yes, I'm very important. It's very important to me that people realize that.
For anyone who has read Josh's blog, and if you haven't, we encourage you to do so. You know from his posts that he is a very, very important person in the Disney blogging circles.
Josh, we're glad to have you here, and we are avid followers of EZWDW, and we hope that we can help others hear that knowledge through your own voice today.
Well, I appreciate that you have hit the record button.
We are recording, unlike did a couple of episodes ago. What have you been up to this week? What is it like a day in the life of a celebrity Disney blogger?
Well, I woke up, edited some pictures of Mickey's backyard barbecue, and I have completed authoring that post. I just have to edit it and add two jokes.
You had two jokes in that post?
I have to come up with two jokes.
Oh, you have to come up with some.
Oh. Those don't just normally happen?
No, it takes months of thinking.
Is there a quota of jokes that you have to put in each post?
Two jokes.
Just two. Okay, at least two. So little Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, I mentioned earlier, we've enjoyed reading your post on the early morning magic the last couple of posts that you've had. Do you want to kind of share, because you review a lot of those enchanted extras that they offer, and seemingly that's one of the few that you've kind of deemed worthy of the value. You have anything you want to say or add regarding that?
Well, I think a lot of people roll their eyes when Disney adds another upcharge event. But the nice thing about the early morning magic is that you have Fantasyland more or less to yourself. You can ride Mine Train over and over again. Maybe there'll be somebody else in the car. Maybe there won't be. So you can ride that ride 10 times in an hour, whereas that wait averages maybe 90 minutes the rest of the day. So it's a lot of fun, and it's just so stress-free. There's so much stress in Walt Disney World. I think whether or not you have a good plan, it's nice to just enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. That's the name of the game, and that's what we're trying to accomplish here on the podcast is helping people. How do you save money? How do you have a stress-free time at Walt Disney World? And that's kind of what you just mentioned. You know, one thing that I appreciate that you do in a lot of these things is you kind of break things down by costs. What's a good tip that you have, just an easy way to help people save money when they travel to Walt Disney World?
Well, you guys just covered 10 good ones in the last episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess there's only so many ways to beat the mouse at his own game. Typically, you can either save money, or you can save time, or you can save stress. It's rare that you can do all three at once.
It's all about personal preference, I suppose.
It is, and it's how you want to spend your money.
Josh, how did you get into blogging?
Well, I forget, but the story I tell is I was selling clothing on eBay for maybe 7 years, and I was writing very serious auction advice to serious sellers on eBay, and there isn't a whole lot of market for that sort of advice, so that's how I got into blogging. And I was planning a trip to Disney World maybe 10 years ago now, and it just seemed like a lot of the coverage was fluff. There wasn't really anybody telling me how I should spend my money, whether they were right or wrong. Everything was just great, and it didn't help me figure out, if I only have 3 table service meals at Disney World, where do I want to eat? So I thought, since there wasn't that coverage, that I could fill that gap in. Here I am in Florida 7 years later.
And I think that sometimes it's something that's missed. Like you said, everything's always positive when it comes to the mouse in the world, that a lot of people just want honesty. And so, I mean, it helps in determining where to spend and how to spend your money. So it's great to hear some honesty every once in a while.
Well, there is a place for the positive coverage. You know, we all love Disney World, but that doesn't mean that everything at Disney World is fantastic, I suppose. So there is something to say for the positive coverage. Everybody wants to open their blog up on a Monday and read about how great things are. But I try to do that, but when I say something is good, I want it to have meaning. And I think the only way to do that is to at times say that maybe something isn't so fantastic.
Josh, a quick look at your website, and you can tell that it's not anything just thrown together. I mean, it takes hours upon hours, and you can tell, I mean, there's lots of thought put in everything you do. On average week, how many hours do you spend answering emails or updating your website or getting on the comment section and talking with some people on your website? How much of – I know you've told us before when you moved here how that became your full-time job. Exactly how many hours a week would you spend probably on your website?
Probably because I'm usually doing four or five different things. But like with the Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, I had to go to the event and experience it, which all told probably took 5 hours and $160. Then I took 250 pictures, which takes 2 hours to edit, and it takes 7 or 8 hours to write the review. So probably that one review is $160 and 15 hours of time.
Wow.
And probably over the course of the week, it depends what you consider work. If I'm refreshing Twitter or checking Facebook or editing photos, but it's 12 or 14 hours a day, 6.5 days a week.
Good grief. Do you have time to do anything non-Disney related?
Oh, yeah. Watch Belmont basketball.
Absolutely. Big win over Vanderbilt this week.
Especially when they're losing to Washington.
That's right. Man, Belmont, boy, Belmont blew the lead. Got me in the heart.
I'm sorry.
Now, you mentioned Washington. You're originally from Seattle, correct?
Bellevue, Washington. Yeah, suburbs.
And how long have you been in Orlando? 7 years?
About 7 years, a couple of which are more or less a blur.
one more quick question as far as your background. Have you had a kind of a love for Disney or a passion for Disney kind of your whole life, or is that something you kind of got into as you saw a need, like you said, a need for the content?
I've always enjoyed visiting, but I like to sort of beat Disney at their own game to a point with if you do things a certain way, you can have a much better experience, objectively speaking, weight less, eat better food. So I guess my passion is trying to figure out, at least through my own eyes, what that way is.
It's funny you mentioned that. You know, we enjoy going to Disney World, but we almost enjoy planning going to Disney World. And like you said, trying to beat them at that game, that's as much of an experience, at least for me personally, it is, going to Walt Disney World, as much as being there almost. You mentioned all the hours that you put into this. Do you still enjoy it? Is it still something, and this is something we kind of talk about all the time, is being in the parks every day, is it something that you still get excited about and brings you joy?
Something I guess I have been struggling with lately is a familiarity with it and trying to keep the content fresh when you've written The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh 175 times and written about it 120 times, what do you say about it? So on one hand, my familiarity is why I'm good at what I do, but on the other hand, I have lost some of the passion for it, which is maybe unfortunate.
What kind of brings another question. As Disney updates and brings in new rides, everything going on at Hollywood Studios, et cetera, are those things that excite you? Because not necessarily, you know, for those of us that travel there a lot, it's kind of a, hey, we can't wait to ride this ride or do this new attraction. But for you, it may be, hey, it's something new, something else I haven't covered or something I haven't seen. Is that kind of the feeling you get from that?
Sure. It's a lot more work, because typically whenever Disney opens, people want to experience with the Pandora thing. It's easy to give advice. Sometimes it's harder to give advice that people can actually take. Like, I can easily tell somebody, get to Animal Kingdom an hour and a half before it opens. Mm-hmm. Stand there in a massive crowd, wait a flight of passage, hurry to Navi River Gorge, your day is set. But advice that people are actually going to take could be more difficult to come up with. So it's a bit of a hassle, especially when Disney seems intent on opening things in June, which is not the most pleasant time of year for them.
They do that to make you bloggers miserable. That's probably why they do it.
My mom says that it keeps me in business.
That's important. So given all the work that you're putting in, have you ever thought that you'd reach a point where you want to bring someone else, I guess, on your staff for the site, or is that something you kind of want to keep to yourself?
I've been busy the last couple of weeks doing a whole lot of stuff to write about, but when I'm out doing that sort of thing, the content kind of falls off. I don't have much use for being the guy that rewords Disney Parks blog or writes the same post everybody else does, so I just can't do that. But at the same time, people will open my website and 10 days have gone by and there's nothing new, so they think that I've died and I'm off the reader.
But that's why you're on Twitter, right? To let us know you're still out there.
With my mom, that's why I send out some good tweets from time.
Let the parents know.
So poor Liz knows that I'm still breathing. Maybe someday I can trust somebody with the importance that is www.com.
Well, they would have to be a very, very prestigious person, I'd say.
Yeah, they'd have to be, well, not a really big deal, because that would probably make me nervous about a takeover.
A hostile takeover.
I mean, I don't know what I would do if I was like the third most popular person on my website.
Well, when you get to that point that you're just worn out, you can come join us and we'll add another grim grinning guy.
I would, yes. There is a future for me in Disney World, regardless. I appreciate that.
You'll be a coveted free agent whenever that occurs. Derek, you got any questions?
I do. I was going to ask him about with all the holiday stuff, getting ready to get started. Have you got your tickets for your Christmas party yet?
Well, I got
ready
for the Christmas party already. Yes. Much like the last Christmas party and the one before that.
Yeah, they don't tend to change a whole lot at the Christmas parties for some reason.
Well, it's a pretty easy sell. People love Christmas, with Magic Kingdom closing at 6 o'clock four times a week is a pretty big incentive to pay the money.
Anything stand out to you about this year's Christmas party, or any secret tips or tricks?
Well, I would tell you that I waited 3 hours for Santa Claus.
Oh, me.
So, I guess as everybody knows, as everybody's been saying, for years, a good tip is to pick one priority character that you want to meet and get in line for them before the party starts, so you're not spending the time. Like, I waited about 4:15 to about 7:15 before the party started, but once the party started and the exclusive stuff began, we were on our way to go enjoy all of that, whereas somebody who got in line at 6:30 to 7:30 is going to be spending 2 or 3 hours of that exclusive time to do the same thing.
It's a great tip. Was it worth the 3-hour wait to meet Santa Claus?
It's a very precious picture.
As all your pictures are, Josh.
Well, I had never met him before, and I thought that this was as good of an opportunity. There wasn't anything that I felt like I needed to be doing otherwise. It was either that or ride the Mini Adventures in Winnie the Pooh for the 176th time.
We hear that that's the best number to ride on, 176. Everything changes.
Yeah. Well, if I had known that.
I'm sorry I didn't let you know.
Well, I should have been on podcast number 8. I don't know whose fault that is.
Josh, there's not a whole lot of pictures of you or things like that on your website out there. Are you noticed a lot at the parks?
People don't say anything to me very often. Usually if I'm taking pictures of condiments or a wall or something, like somebody will say, "Are you Josh?" And at least 75% of the time I look at them and just say no.
I will say, I think the peak of your career has been your pictures of buffet items at various Disney World buffets. They're immaculate.
Yes. Well, just try to take some time and just feel the hatred of everybody around you in that buffet line. At the thought of being delayed 10 seconds for their asparagus. There's nothing like it. Plus, you got to crouch down. If I had known that 7 years of the fake pictures were in my future, I probably would have made some different choices.
we're certainly glad you didn't know that was in your future, if that's the case, because you do these things so that we don't have to, and we appreciate it, Josh.
Yeah, well, I'll send you a bill.
Another question I have, Josh, is and you've explained this to us before when we ate with you, but the crowd calendars, why did you quit doing that as much? And again, you've explained this to us, but for everybody else to kind of understand.
Well, I wasn't satisfied with the accuracy of it. Like, I collect wait times in 5-minute increments at every ride, all day, every day. So I can tell you how busy Disney World was yesterday, last week, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Right.
But with FastPass Plus and some cuts to planning, Disney doesn't offer any insight into what they're expecting. And I wasn't happy with what I was able to do based on the past. So why tell people something if you're not sure about it?
Right, right.
But I don't know. I've waffled between going back, because what I would put out there, I think, would still be the best available. But if you're only going to be right, pick your favorite percent. You really want people basing $10,000 trips on that 7 or 8 months out. And I decided that I just wasn't comfortable with it.
Well, I think that's something to be admired, because there's plenty of sites out there that will put out calendars and things like that. And like you said, they don't really have a lot of evidence to go on as far as what will be the least or most crowded park. But I think that speaks a lot to what you do and who you're doing this for, given the fact that you could get a few more site clicks with that, but you choose to just withhold that and only present what you know. So I think that's far more appreciated than what you realize.
Yeah, and it was a lot of work. Probably about an hour a day for each day to look into it. So 30 hours a month or something, go over crowd stuff.
Yes, yeah, it's like you said, your wait time, the extensiveness of that is pretty amazing. Just the amount of time I'm sure you put in each one of those. So that's enough time as it is without keeping up the rest of your website and things like that. So that's understandable.
Do you feel that the new FastPass Plus system is better or worse than the old paper system?
It depends where you're coming from. For somebody like me, it's fantastic because I can go to Hollywood Studios and I can know that I'm going to ride Toy Story, Tower of Terror, and Star Tours, whereas in the paper FastPass days, I'd have to get there before 11 a.m. to get that paper FastPass, and I'd have to wait until the evening to ride. But it depends on a lot of factors, the size of your group and how often you're willing to refresh, and on and on and on. if you know what you're doing, I think it's positive for most people. But at the same time, the wait times have risen so much that maybe it's a wash.
Right. I always think that if they had just done a digital version of the paper fast pass like they're doing at Disneyland, I think that would have been maybe the best option. But that's just one guy in Tennessee thinking.
Well, it depends what your goals are, and keeping in mind that what the Walt Disney Company wants and what you want are two very different things. So for Walt Disney Company, it's been a boon because they're keeping more money than ever on site, and they're also rationing the experiences, so the power users like you and I get to do less, but other people who would have no chance of figuring out how to ride Frozen have managed to get a fast pass one way or another.
If you could portray any character at Walt Disney World and work as that character, what would it be?
Lady Tremaine.
There was
like,
no.
I would love to just be able to be mean to kids. You're being charming.
There was no hesitation in that answer whatsoever.
It sounds like, has somebody asked you that before?
No, it's just sometimes I dress up. Sometimes I'm mean to children. Sometimes I think it's all charming. I don't know. It'd be nice to be able to put all three into one.
I gotta be honest, I was not expecting that one.
If there was one question that people that love Disney World like we do, what one question could you answer that would help us the most, or just anything at all that you would want to answer? I know that's kind of a weird question, but I'm just sitting here thinking, why do you ask Josh so many things that we want to ask from you? What's a question or an answer you give us that would help us beyond anything else you could tell us?
Where can I buy the Easy Guide to Walt Disney World 2018? Why is it Amazon.com?
We're glad you said that, because we actually have a copy of that we're going to give away.
Yes.
Ooh. I was wondering who bought that copy.
Have we decided how we're going to give that away yet?
Josh, do you have any suggestions?
Well, something that would get in the hands of one of my many fans unfairly would probably be most desirable. It's like a lottery where the winner is predetermined.
Okay.
Like, people could think that they have a chance when obviously I'm just going to hand it to my friend, like that sort of thing.
So one of our wives is going to win this book.
But they would have to... I don't know if they'd see that as a gift.
Not because you wrote it,
not
Josh.
Not because of you, no.
Because of us.
Because we would be the ones interested in it.
But the thing with the internet and everything is that there just are not a lot of secrets anymore. And once I post something, within a week or two, 7, 8, 9, 10 sites are going to have the same advice. And to a point, I guess, when they post something, it all comes back around. Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of why we started our podcast, is because we felt like there's a bunch of other podcasts out there that kind of explain the latest and greatest thing at Disney. And honestly, I mean, with a website like yours, it tells all those things. So we felt like, well, how can we get back to basics with a lot of people out there to tell them, all right, you want to go to Disney, here's how you do it. So we're trying our best to stay along those guidelines. I know at one time we'll probably run out of being able to do that, but we appreciate the input you have just from your website to help us do that, to help us help others that want to go to Disney and enjoy it and not be miserable, because there's a lot of people that do that don't understand it because they don't read up or they don't listen. They just have a miserable experience. But we thank you for your help in helping us.
Just stop writing Winnie the Pooh around 140 times, I think, is the sweet spot.
That's the breaking point. It's kind of in that same vein. What's the most common planning or most common touring mistake that you witness just being in the parks that just the average visitor tends to make?
Well, average visitor-wise is thinking that arriving at 9:30 is early enough.
Right.
Especially if you're headed to, or even 9 a.m. Like, if you show up at the gate of Magic Kingdom at 9 a.m. and think that you're rope-dropping Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you're in for a world of hurt. The same thing with Flight of Passage. If you get there even a half an hour early, unless you're the slitheriest family in the world, you're going to wait 90 minutes or 2 hours. So you got to arrive a little bit earlier than you want to. And if you don't, you need to be smart enough to call an audible, because 9 a.m. is early enough for Peter Pan's flight for Space Mountain. But if you get somewhere and the wait is already going to be an hour, you want to figure something else out, even if your touring plan says that Mine Train is the first thing. And that's okay.
Yeah, being able to adapt, I think, is very important. And one thing you mention a lot on your post that I think is some great advice is, if you're going to wait an hour or an hour and a half to ride something, do it in the middle of the day when waits are high everywhere. I think that's a great piece of advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, particularly true at Flight of Passage these days, which is a real high priority.
Absolutely. One more, Josh. What's the one thing that still, after doing all this, the one thing that appeals to you the most about Walt Disney World? What's the one thing they do that stands out to you as far as making it a magical place, a special place that people want to continue to travel to?
Well, I think my favorite thing is seeing the people get off of Magical Express and their eyes just lit up because their whole week is in front of them.
Mm.
It's a real fun sight to see and makes me happy that I do what I do.
Oh,
we do appreciate what you do, Josh. What we want to do right now, we know you've listened to some of our episodes, but we try to wrap up every episode with a segment we call Grim Grinning Greatness, and we'll kind of each take a turn asking what is each of our favorite something at Walt Disney World. And what we're going to kind of do today, we don't have a new question, but we do kind of want to take you back through the questions that we've asked already, the ones that we can remember, and just see what your answers are for those. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Well, I know the first one was, what's your favorite ride at Epcot?
The Epcot Half Ride?
More than Hollywood Studios.
Favorite ride at Epcot, Test Track. Well, does that have to be current? I say Horizons. Just kidding. Test Track.
Because you were not alive when Epcot opened, right? That's in your Twitter bio?
Yeah. I should have asked if you want a serious answer or just a sidestep answer.
Whatever you feel like, Josh.
You might have noticed that I haven't answered a single one of your questions so far. But you're just so in awe that you haven't said anything about it. And I appreciate hospitality.
We've just been starstruck this whole time. Oh, I mean, I think Craig forgot to push the record button. Craig, what's another one we've asked?
Your favorite place to eat anywhere at Walt Disney World?
Sanaa Lunch.
Great choice.
Thank you.
Reddit closing.
Flight of Passage.
What is your favorite quick service restaurant at Animal Kingdom?
Fling to Barbecue.
Yes. Your favorite snack anywhere at Disney World?
The Dole Whip pineapple upside down cake was good. Corn dog nuggets are my favorite thing, though.
I didn't know if your hot dogosaurus Rex would have any play into this. I was wondering.
Yeah, well, Restaurantosaurus sent the check, so I cash him. Love that place. Great place.
Any funny moments or anything that you've seen or heard going around the parks?
Well, the funniest thing I have ever personally witnessed is a woman. The monorail was pulling away, and this lady was patting it on the back. She was behind the... She's patting on the back like a cat, trying to get it stop, then she chased after it only as far as she could get inside of that little corral, and then threw up her hands. It had gone off when she obviously wanted to board.
She thought it was a New York City taxi.
Yeah, she just thought, well, just halt the production. Aaron needs to get on now.
What's your favorite resort pool at either a value or moderate resort?
Well, I have not had my shirt off in public in 22 years. And they also don't like me around the pools, typically. The dig site. And I guess the Cars pool out of Animation is fun, too, with the cone.
And the dig site, that's at Coronado, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good choice.
All right, Josh?
I know. Yes, I know it is.
We'll stop saying good choice. We know you're confident in your answers.
Where is your favorite place at Magic Kingdom to people watch? You probably don't people watch. You're probably too busy, but that was just one of our questions.
I was at Magic Kingdom maybe a couple of weeks ago getting the fried chicken from Prince Eric's Market, which is not a real treat. There was a guy, I took the chicken back to the back of Storybook Circus, and he was eating apricot marmalade from a jar through a straw.
Oh, my goodness. I bet you could. So, we could have just spent this whole interview talking about things you've seen in the parks.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm mostly paying attention to incremental price increases on quick service fountain beverages. Every once in a while, I'll take a look at what is going on around me. And also, I was at Magic Kingdom maybe a week ago, and they were talking about going to the Houseboat restaurant at Disney Springs.
I saw that. That was pretty good.
Houseboat. This was our most recent one. What is your favorite place to get turkey at Walt Disney World? This was a part of our Thanks Disving episode, which came up this past Thursday. What is your favorite place to get turkey at Walt Disney World?
Day.
Just any time.
A normal day.
Sure, sure.
I don't know. It's like a Liberty Tree Tavern advertising. Liberty Tree Tavern is a fantastic restaurant.
Bingo. That's the one that I said. So,
but because what are your other choices? I mean,
a turkey leg.
Where?
Anywhere. One thing I was going to ask you earlier. So on an average rope drop for you, how many elbows do you throw from rope drop to the time you get to your first ride?
It depends on the park, but between 30 and 50.
how many of those are children?
30 to 50. You see me. I'm not elbowing adults. I'm not looking for a fight. And that's just changing lenses. It's not even on purpose.
Oh, me. You guys have any more questions for Josh? Anything?
I could probably be going on all night, but we've held Josh long enough, I think.
But like Josh said, he is an important person, so we don't want to.
That's right. That's right.
We know he has big things ahead for this evening. Josh, do you have any final words you want to share or anything else you want to say?
No, it's been nice. Thank you guys for having me on.
Josh, will you come back later on? Maybe for our 2000th episode or something like that.
Well, yeah, they're all milestone episodes.
That's exactly right. I've been telling you guys.
And Josh, can you use the one word we always try to use since we haven't used it yet?
Diesel.
Thank you, Josh.
Bingo, Josh. It means a lot to us all, more than anything else. Josh, we thank you once again for joining us. We appreciate all the work that you do. We encourage all of our listeners to visit Josh at easywdw.com. Lots of great information there, especially on the pull-down menu as far as touring plans and other advice for each park that you go to. Also encourage you to pick up a copy of his book, The Easy Guide to Your Walt Disney World Visit, on Amazon. And as we said, we will be giving away a copy of that in the days ahead. Look for more information about that on Facebook and Twitter. And remember, as you leave, be sure to
beware the hitchhiking ghosts.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
And then make an automatic, can you talk?
Audio animatronic.
We'll cut that out. Then we can make an
audio animatronic.